To you too. You going to come and join us at the front? No? Okay. You going to come and join us at the front? Merry Christmas anyway. Are you going to come and join us at the front? Oh, come on. Oh, we've got some down the front anyway. How are you? Now, do you know who I am? Who do you think I might be?
Joseph.
Thank you. Well done, Phyllis, as well. Yes, my name is Joseph. And as I say, I just love this time of year. I've been around your Christmas for as long as your Christmas has been around. But I guess you don't really know very much about me. I sort of sometimes feel slightly like the father of the bride. You know, I'm in the background and paying the bills. And believe me, your Christmas cost me a lot. So what can I tell you about myself? Well, I come from an old and very respected family. I can trace my family right the way back to King David. And some of you can probably trace your families back a long way. But in those days, when I lived, being able to trace your lineage back to David was really, really important. And so I have the name Davidson, Joseph Davidson. And no, before you say it, I haven't got a brother called Jim or a brother called Harley. Okay, I've heard them all before. So where to start? Well, as I say, my family came from Bethlehem, down south of Jerusalem. But I actually lived and worked up in Nazareth. Anyone know where Nazareth is? Has anybody heard of Nazareth? You have heard of Nazareth. It always amazes me that you have. Nazareth was such a small place. It was the butt of lots of jokes. People used to say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But I wasn't there for the high life. I was there because there was work there. And, you know, a man has to work. So, up in Nazareth, I was a woodworker. Any woodworkers in the house today? Hey! Brother, Phyllis, you're a woodworker as well. Excellent, excellent. We can compare notes later. But yeah, I was a woodworker, hence the tool belt here. Sorry?
Packing heat, the Americans say.
If you say so. Don't know. Anyway, yeah, furniture, timber-framed houses, tools, you name it. If it's wood, I was your man. I like wood. It's good, honest stuff. It can be tricky, don't get me wrong, but it does what it says, doesn't it? You know, you can read a bit of wood and you can use it. Occasionally, it goes wrong, but I gather nowadays you have hollow doors and wood that isn't really wood at all. I mean, it's made up of bits of wood all sort of stuck together. Doesn't sound right to me, I have to say. Wood is, I find, sort of honest, and I like that. I like that in people as well. Now, you heard in your reading that I was known as a righteous man, and I love that still exists today, that I'm still known as a righteous man, because many years ago, hundreds of years before I lived, when God gave Moses the law, the Torah, it told us how to live, what we should eat, the people we should associate with. It was a difficult set of rules, but I believed that if I wanted to be one of God's people, I should live by that. It was tough, but I tried. And so, you know, the fact that nowadays you believe that I was a righteous man, that's really good. I love that. I believe that, you know, if you believe something, you should live it. And it's important that we all live by God's rules today. Well, the other thing, of course, that really shaped my life was Mary. I was working up in Nazareth. There was plenty of work. It was good. I was managing to save a bit of money. And I got to an age where I really ought to be thinking about getting married. Anybody any ideas how old Mary was? How old? 17, yeah, thereabouts, 15, 17, something like that. wonderful age to get married. Any of you getting married soon? So you must be about the right age. No? Oh, well, maybe things have changed. Anyway, she was a wonderful girl, wonderful, wonderful woman, and I just fell head over heels in love with her. We were betrothed, which is a bit like your engagement, but engagements nowadays, you know, you can break them off very easily, whereas betrothal back in those days was much more permanent. It was almost like being married, apart from the fact that you didn't actually live together as man and wife. But to break off a betrothal, you actually had to get divorced, which sounds a bit odd, but that was the way it was. And to have a divorce as well, you had to show a really, really good reason. And it was a big, big disgrace. And a betrothal would last a year or so, during which time there were all sorts of investigations go on, searches to make sure you weren't about to marry someone who you shouldn't be marrying, chance for the families to get to know each other, you know, that dreadful meeting when the in-laws meet the outlaws. Such a tense time. So we have an entire year to get all of that sort of stuff out of the way and to sort out the marriage plans. It was a time when I dreamt, dreaming of the life that Mary and I were going to build together, the house that I could build for her, the family that we'd have. It all sort of went a bit sour, though. Guys, you know how it feels when the woman in your life starts to give you that silent treatment? Oh, doesn't happen.
Never happens, no.
Well, it happened to me. There we were, betrothed and making all the arrangements, and I thought, just the happiest time of my life. And then suddenly, Mary started to be really sort of preoccupied, and she just wouldn't really talk to me. It was incredibly difficult, and no matter how much I tried, you know, just I couldn't get through to her. Anyway, I'd been out at work and came back, and she dropped a bombshell. She said, "I'm pregnant." My world just fell apart. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And we were betrothed, so I knew it wasn't mine. And the penalties, you know, were just terrible. And I knew the law. I was a righteous man. And the penalty for adultery was stoning. And so Mary, the woman who I loved, she'd shattered my dreams. And according to the law, she should be stoned. Oh, I tell you, I was in such a quandary. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want her to be stoned, but what choice did I have? I was beginning to understand the law in a whole new way. But I love Mary so much, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't make public the fact that she was pregnant. So I just had to buy some time and get my head straight and work out what I was going to do. And so I thought, well, if I can just get Mary out of the way for a little bit, and I can organize a quiet divorce, just a couple of people to say something against her, and then I can get divorced, end the betrothal without actually having to have poor Mary stoned, because I loved her so much. Anyway, she had to get away, so she went down south, down towards Hebron, down south of Jerusalem, and she stayed down there with some family members. You might have heard of them, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And I stayed up in Nazareth, still working. And it was about that time that the dream started. Now, as I say, I mean, I'm a carpenter. I sleep, I have dreams like everybody else, but these dreams were different. These dreams were powerful. They were the sort of dreams that I thought really would, the sort of dreams that prophets would have. But I wasn't a prophet. I was a carpenter, a simple man. But the dreams were persistent, and they came night after night. And every time it was the same. Absolutely clear instruction that I wasn't to divorce her. So eventually, I gave up. And I went down to Hebron and I collected Mary. And as the angel in my dream had told me, I took her home as my wife. And that's when the fun really started. You've all heard about Caesar's decree. So we'd gone from Hebron down in the south up to Nazareth in the north. And then Caesar's decree came. What did we have to do? Back down south again. Not quite as far as Hebron, but very nearly. Anybody any idea how far it is from Nazareth down to Bethlehem? Anybody? Anybody, a geography student? Anybody know that? How far? Not quite that bad. Not quite that bad, but it felt like it. I tell you, on a donkey with a pregnant, heavily pregnant lady, it felt like 200 miles. But no, it was about 70 miles. 60, 70 miles, something like that. And believe you me, as I say, on a donkey with a heavily pregnant young lady, no laughing matter. I know you complain about your roads today, but that was nothing. So, and when we got there, nowhere to stay. Of course, Mary says that I should have booked, but I hadn't thought of that, had I? Typical bloke. So, not even any of our family members there could help out. So, we ended up in a stable. Now, you've got a little stable here.
Oh, look, there's me.
But this is the sort of house that I would have built. This wasn't the sort of stable that animals lived in those days. It was more like a cave. Not a very deep cave, just a little place where the animals could shelter. And your manger here, where on Christmas Day we're going to have baby Jesus. This is lovely. Fresh meadow hay. Wasn't like that. Nice bit of timber though. But no, it wasn't like that. The manger was just a little stone channel where we laid him, because there was nowhere else. And then the shepherds, I mean, what was that about? This was just something I couldn't get my head around. Things were just getting out of control. I wanted a quiet married life with Mary. But it obviously wasn't to be. And then the wise men, you know about them. They came to visit as well, bringing these wonderful gifts. And then, of course, Herod's decree, and we had to become refugees, fleeing to Egypt. What had I got myself into? It was, anyway, you know all this. There are lots more stories, but I mustn't keep you because you'll be late for lunch. But I want to share my perspective, the perspective of Joseph, the simple carpenter at this time of year. When I was young, I always thought if I saw an angel, I wouldn't question anything. But I still questioned. I know that that dream was an angel talking to me. But I still questioned. And you sang in your hymn earlier on, little baby Jesus, no crying he makes. Ooh, don't you believe that? When he was cutting his teeth, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd have to get up and hold him, comfort him. And when he was in the carpentry shop with me, when he was a bit older, thwacked his thumb with a hammer. Lots of crying then. Anyway, some of you have faith like Mary, unquestioning faith. When the angel came to her, she said, yes, so be it. your will, Lord. If you have faith like that, you're blessed. Really blessed. Some of you have faith more like mine. You believe your doubts, you doubt your beliefs, you question, you wonder. But I found I had to trust when I really didn't feel like trusting. When everything pointed to me walking away, I was told I had to trust. And so I trusted, and God used me, a simple carpenter, and my trust as part of his amazing story. And you know, I wasn't the main character, but God chose me. He used me. And all you lovely people, he chooses you too. He wants you to be a part of this story. Not hundreds of years ago when I lived. He wants you to be a part of the story today. He wants you to take this story forward. His story forward. Because without you, the story will end. I played my part this Christmas, this year, going forward. Will you play yours? I do hope so. Happy Christmas.